Chapter 13. I unfolded the small note and found it contained exactly what Kaas had promised. The letter was from the Elf King, and it outlined his need for more dragon eggs. It says here the frost giants have eggs in storage. I shook my head.
In storage? What does that mean? I suppose it's similar to how we keep the eggs we've found, though we aren't selling ours. Of course not. You only kept those eggs to make sure they didn't get into the wrong hands. These assholes took them so they could sell them, I'm sure. I have no doubt you're right. I hate to think of all the poor dragon mothers who had their children stolen.
I know. I frowned. We'll get them back, though, I swear it.
I know you will.
Prayna said as she reached over and patted my hand. But then she quickly pulled away and looked down when she realized what she'd done.
What else does it say?
Asta pushed, and she gestured toward the letter. Well, it says the king thinks he's figured out a way to magically hatch the eggs, I said as I read over the note once more.
I didn't think that was possible.
Prayna muttered, almost to herself.
Didn't the council try for years to hatch the eggs they found? We most certainly did.
Prayna nodded.
We didn't want to simply leave them in their egg form, since we weren't sure that was safe, but after several attempts and several years of the eggs not seeming to rot or anything, we decided it was best to keep them in their egg state instead of attempting more spells to hatch them. I thought Wrath was the only one who could hatch eggs, at least dormant eggs.
Right, I nodded. Non-dormant eggs will hatch on their own, but when they're in that deep slumber, well, I thought I was the only one who could hatch them, too.
You're the only one who can do it by nature.
Prayna told me with a serious look.
What the king is planning is an abomination. She's right. The power you have was naturally bestowed upon you. And your ability to hatch dragons is a gift, not something forced like the Elf King is trying to do. Yes, exactly.
Prayna nodded.
Does it say a time or place they're meeting?
No. I answered, and I let out a deep breath.
We need to figure out where those eggs are kept.
Yes, we do. If we can figure that out, we can at least get in the way of the king obtaining more eggs.
I like the sound of that.
Ira smiled. We may not be able to attack the king outright just yet, but we don't have to make things easy on him either. And if we can prevent him from getting more eggs, well, we may be able to stall whatever plan he has, so we can get ahead of it.
Prayna, did you recognize the spell that was outlined to bring Vinra back? No, I've never seen it before.
The sorceress shook her head.
But I will be sure to look into it. You know, I bet we can figure out where the eggs are being kept.
Ira told me as she pursed her full lips in thought.
Like how we found the baby dragons at the market. We should go to Jotunheim and take a look around.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
I bet we can get a map of Jotunheim from my father.
Right. I said as I looked up at the night sky. We'll go first thing in the morning. For tonight, let's all try to get some rest. Who wants a drink?
Oh, yes, please.
Ira grinned.
Me too.
Gar said, and she held up her hand.
And me?
Asta giggled as she stood up.
I'll help you carry them. Bring me one too, please.
Of course, I nodded. Asta and I retrieved pints of meat for each of us, and then I gathered some vegetables and leftover fish to prepare for dinner.
I'm afraid I should warn you. I can't stay for dinner.
Prayna said with a small smile.
I've already been away for a couple of days, and while Odin is busy, I don't want anyone else noticing my absence.
Oh, yes. Whatever you think is best. I frowned and took another drink of mead.
It's not a problem. I'll simply say I was visiting family, but I'm usually only gone for a few days, so I don't want to be gone any longer than normal.
Yes, I completely understand. I told her, and I looked to Bla, who was pretending to be asleep by the fire. Yeah, I'm sure my blue friend here can make you a portal. The little dragon opened an eye, looked at me, and then closed it again. Prayna pursed her lips, and then she smiled.
I would hate to walk all the way home. I know it's been a long day, but maybe he would do it if I promised to get him an entire batch of pumpkin treats the next time I saw him.
Bla licked his lips, sat up, and walked over to Prayna. Yes, I'll take that as a yes. I laughed and looked at the sorceress. But you know you have to make good on that promise. He won't forget, trust me.
Oh, I intend to.
Prayna chuckled, and she reached down and stroked Bla's back.
Are you ready to send me home?
Bla licked his lips again and nodded.
Thank you.
Prana cooed, and she leaned down and kissed his little blue head right between his horns. Bla mustered up a portal for Prana, and the sorceress waved farewell before she stepped through and vanished. After that was done, Bla walked back over to the fire and once again collapsed. He wasted no time getting back to sleep either, and he began snoring almost as soon as his head hit the ground. We were all rather quiet as I finished cooking our dinner, and I even made a special treat of baked pumpkin for the little dragons. I knew Prana would make good on her promise to get Bla more of the treats he liked so much, but I also figured they deserved something special after everything they'd been through the past few days. Not only had it been stressful, as far as them having to do plenty of physical labor with the fights we'd been in, but they also had to go through the emotional turmoil of seeing fellow dragons captured and imprisoned. I knew it was rough on everyone to have to leave the dragon in the dungeon behind, but all I could do was make sure we went back for him. I knew the poor thing had been there a while, and I wanted to rip him away from that place and never look back. But I needed him to stay there just a little bit longer, so when I freed him I could free all the other dragons as well. And while it was still sad leaving him in that dark place, I knew he'd understand. Dragons were selfless creatures, and if given the chance, they would gladly help others of their kind. The camaraderie in Dragon Valley was just one instance of their unique ability to take care of one another, regardless of the circumstances. I knew all the dragons in Asta's homeworld tried to protect one another, and it would be worth it soon enough when they could live free once more like they used to. I thought about what Prana said, how the dragons hadn't always lived in the valley altogether, and I couldn't help the smile that came over my face as I imagined them roaming freely throughout the realms. After dinner was over, and we'd all had another couple of pints, I noticed Cass and Ira leaning against each other, and both of them were nearly asleep. Why don't you two head inside? I'll be in soon.
All right.
Ira yawned and stretched.
I'm beat. It's been a long few days.
Yes, it has. Go get some rest.
Cass?
The redhead said, and she poked the strawberry blonde.
Cass, come on. Okay.
The Valkyrie grumbled, and she allowed Ira to pull her up by the arm and lead her to the small cottage. Bla stood up and yawned, too, and then he, Inger, and Uther followed the girls inside. Svas had been asleep on Ira's shoulders for some time, and, well, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where she slept all night, since I doubted the redhead would remember to move her before she fell asleep. At this point, the little yellow dragon was more a part of the warband leader than she was her own separate being. Asta, I said with a small smile. Did you want to go inside with Ira and Cars?
No.
The white-haired elf girl looked at the cottage, and then back at me, and her cheeks flushed with colour.
Is it right if I stay with you for a while?
Of course. I'd love the company.
Okay.
The elf girl bounded over and sat down next to me. Then she smiled wide and cocked her head to the side as she stared into the fire. I smiled too, and together we sat and stared at the flames for a few minutes as we finished our mead.
I was hoping I would get some alone time with you.
Asta said, and she looked up at the stars. Oh, yeah? I asked as my brow furrowed with confusion. Is everything all right? I was worried about Asta. Since we'd gone to the dungeon, she'd been kept in before, and I only hoped she wasn't too upset by the whole ordeal. I would never want her to have to relive such a horrific time in her life.
Yes, I'm fine.
She assured me with a smile, and her cheeks once again flushed with colour.
I was just hoping we could, spend some time together.
Asta placed her hand on mine, and I smiled at her not-so-subtle attempt to seduce me. She was so incredibly sweet and timid at times, it was hard to think of her as anything other than adorable. But underneath that sweetness, I knew there was a sexy elf just waiting to be unleashed. And I think that can be arranged, I said, and I lifted her chin so her yellow eyes locked on mine before I lowered my lids and pressed my mouth to hers. Asta sighed against my mouth, and I felt my body respond to her sweet breath. The blood practically burned through my veins like a wildfire, and my cock pressed insistently against the seam of my pants. I wanted her, and I knew she wanted me, too. The white-haired elf girl reached her hands up to undo my braid and tangled her fingers in my strands, and her hands were all over my body as I kissed her deeper and gently nibbled on her bottom lip.
Wrath, I want you so bad.
She moaned as she pulled her mouth away from mine, and then she kissed along my jaw down to my neck. The feel of her mouth on my skin drove me wild, and my cock throbbed in response to the feel of her warm body pressed against mine. I ran my hands down the curve of Asta's back until they landed on her perfectly sculpted ass, and then I lifted her up and set her on my lap so she was straddling me. She groaned, and she arched her back as I reached my hands around to cup her small perky breasts.
I love when you touch me.
Asta placed her hands over mine and squeezed, and my cock twitched in response to her boldly spoken desire. God, you're so sexy, I growled as I reached down and pulled her tunic off. Then I threw the garment behind me, and delighted in the sight of her fully naked body on top of mine. Her small pink nipples were taut, and they led down to her perfectly flat and toned stomach. Further down still was her pristinely hairless pussy. I could see her folds were glistening with her want already, and I couldn't wait to feel them for myself. I leaned forward and pulled one of her nipples into my mouth, and she tossed her head back and let out a low moan.
Oh, Wrath.
Asta moaned as her nails scraped down my back.
Yes, that feels so good.
I licked and sucked on her breast until she was panting with desire, and then I lightly pulled her nipple between my teeth and gave it a playful bite. Asta gasped, and she gripped my neck hard as she sucked in ragged breaths. Oh, you like that, don't you? I groaned, and I kissed my way over to her other breast.
So much.
She breathed, and she grabbed my hand and yanked it down to her sweet pussy.
Feel for yourself. I'm dripping with need for you.
Asta pushed my fingers against her soaking wet slit, and my cock throbbed with anticipation and desire as I slowly slid my finger inside of her.
Oh, Wrath.
Asta moaned, and she gripped my neck again so my face was pressed against her breasts. Oh, fuck, Asta, you're so tight. I continued to lick and suck her nipple while I slid another finger inside of her. The white-haired elf woman rocked her hips back and forth on my fingers, and I could feel her pussy getting wetter and wetter until her juices were dripping down my palm.
Oh, don't stop!
She gasped suddenly, and I continued to push my fingers in and out of her until her body seized up and her pussy clenched me tightly. Asta's velvet walls spasmed on my fingers, and my cock throbbed to the point where I couldn't take it any longer, so I yanked on the leather cord of my pants and freed my rock-hard erection. I carefully slid my fingers out of Asta, and then I pressed the tip of my cock against her swollen pussy lips and slid myself inside with one smooth thrust. Oh, fuck! I groaned as I filled her completely. Asta gasped and dug her nails into my shoulders, and I could feel her pussy spasm on my cock while she continued to ride out the waves of her pleasure.
Wrath!
The elf girl breathed as she collapsed against me once her orgasm had ended.
Oh, you feel so good inside of me.
She leaned back all the way, and then she placed her palms on my knees and her feet on the wooden bench beneath me so she could bob up and down on my cock. I watched as I slid in and out of her. Her red, plump mouth was slightly open, but her eyes were closed as she enjoyed herself fully, and her breasts bounced with each thrust. I grabbed onto Asta's hips and allowed her to move at her own pace while I took in the sight of her riding my cock. But after a few minutes, I couldn't take it any longer. Oh, it was my turn. I growled, and I pulled her to me so I could lower her onto her back on the grass.
Oh, yes, Wrath.
Asta purred, and she tossed her head back and bit down on her bottom lip.
Fuck me hard, please. I want your cock so bad.
Oh? I hooked my elbows under Asta's knees so I could push them to her chest, and then I pounded into her hard until I bottomed out against her womb. Her pussy clenched me tightly as she let out a little screech of delight at the feel of me, filling her so deeply.
Rot, don't stop, please. I'm gonna... come!
Asta cried out as I slammed my cock into her as deep as it could possibly go, and her orgasm overtook her, so all she could do was hold on tightly to my shoulders as her body was racked with pleasure. God, you're so fucking sexy when you come for me.
Oh, fill me up, Rath.
She panted as her pussy continued to spasm on my cock.
I want your hot cum inside me.
Oh, I know you do. I groaned, and I slammed into her one more time before I allowed myself to climax. My cock spasmed and tensed as I filled Asta's elven womb with my thick seed, and the feel of her pleasure mixed with my own nearly made me black out with fulfillment. Stars and bursts of color danced in front of my eyes, and I shuddered as lightning raced up and down my spine and set my nerves on fire. Our bodies and souls were entangled, and her pleasure was mine in that moment, just as mine was hers. Once we each rode out our orgasms, I held myself above her as I caught my breath. I could feel the sheen of sweat that covered my body as I tore in ragged breaths, and it was a few moments before I was able to crawl off her and roll onto my back in the cool grass.
That was nice.
Asta said, and she looked at me and laughed. Oh, nice.
That's why I'm laughing. I couldn't think of another word. I think our sex affected my brain.
So that's possibly it. I smiled and shook my head, and then I reached over to brush a loose strand of hair behind her ear. Asta's pale, slender body was illuminated with the firelight, and I could see how toned and fit she was. Her perfect hourglass figure and delicate facial features were highlighted by the shadows thrown from the fire, and my heart sped up again as I took in the sight of her.
What?
The elf girl asked as she bit her lip. Oh, you're just beautiful, is all, I told her, and I rolled over to capture her lips with my own.
Thank you, Rath.
She breathed when we parted again, and she looked up at the stars.
You're incredibly handsome. As well.
The white-haired elf girl closed her eyes, and a second later I could see her chest rise and fall slowly as she drifted off to sleep. I smiled at her sleeping form, and then I got up and retrieved a blanket for us so we could sleep in the grass. As soon as I laid down near Asta, she rolled over and snuggled against my chest. Her naked body was warm against mine, and I looked up at the sky and enjoyed the feel of her pressed against me. As I watched the stars, I thought about the eggs the frost giants had gathered. There were no dragon eggs lying around in the wilderness ripe for the taking, so any eggs those assholes possessed were stolen, and that thought made my blood boil with rage. Suddenly a thought occurred to me, and a deep frown came over my face. Blah had been stolen, too. How long ago, I wasn't sure, but someone in Asgard had his egg, which meant they'd either bought it from a dragon trader or stolen it themselves. It seemed he'd probably been dormant for some time, but he'd been stolen nonetheless. I shook my head at the thought of my poor little blue buddy being separated from his mother, and I wondered if she was still alive and looking for him. Dragon traders didn't seem to understand the level of intelligence and emotional recognition dragons had. Either that or they simply didn't care. Dragons weren't mindless animals. They were able to feel as complexly as we could, and I'd seen firsthand how they treated their young. Mother dragons didn't simply give up on their children. They searched for them. They grieved their loss, and they remembered their babies who were taken from them. The idea that these men would so willingly steal these babies completely baffled me. It would be like stealing Asgardian children, a crime which had never been committed, but one that would certainly be punished by death. And these dragon traders deserve nothing less. We needed to get those eggs, not only to keep them from the king's hands, but to free the babies who'd been taken. I hoped the mothers were still alive, and I'd be able to reunite them with their children. But my gut told me that wouldn't be the case for all of them. The frost giants had probably been building this egg supply for years, so there was no telling how many of the mothers had managed to survive this long. Jotunheim was incredibly vast, though, as we'd learned on our first trip there, and our subsequent trip to find the well. We'd travelled for miles through the frigid temperatures, but thanks to Kaas and Asta, we hadn't felt the cold, only the soreness from walking on the slippery, icy terrain. My eyes closed as I thought about the eggs we needed to find and how we would get to them. Ramir was our best hope, and I knew the sorcerer would be able to make us a map of Jotunheim. He was able to make us maps of everywhere else we'd needed so far, so I could only assume this wouldn't be a problem. My mind drifted off to sleep, but as I entered the realm of dreams, I realized I was no longer myself. My body didn't feel like my own. I felt cramped and small, and everything was dark. All I could feel was a sense of dread, but then a loud cracking sound startled me, and a small light broke through the darkness. Another crack rang through the air of the small area I was in, and even more light assaulted my eyes. It was so bright I had to squint just to look at it, and even then it became too much, so I turned my head away. The loudest crack yet blasted my eardrums, and I let out a terrified little squeak as the walls of my little room came tumbling down around me. I realized then that I'd been in an egg, and pieces of the shell fell all around as I landed on my feet and shook my small body free of shell debris. I blinked a few times to allow my eyes to adjust to the light, but as soon as I was able to see, a new, even more powerful sense of terror filled me. More dragon eggs lined the walls around me, dozens of them, and I was suddenly cold, so very cold, to the point where I began to shiver. My paws seemed to be stuck to the floor beneath me, and I struggled to lift them from the shiny shelf they were on. I let loose a horrified squeak as I glanced around in a panic. I didn't understand where I was. There was a yearning for comfort, for my mother, and for warmth. My ragged breath came out in white puffs as I took in my icy surroundings. I didn't know what my home was supposed to look like, but I knew what it felt like, and this wasn't it. I wasn't home, but where was I?